Remember that opening scene in A Christmas Carol? We're in Scrooge's counting house. It's Christmas Eve. Scrooge has declared Christmas a humbug to his nephew Fred and told him,
"If I could work my will, every idiot that goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. He should."
Soon after that, he dismisses the charity collectors who come round visiting and chases away a caroler who had attempted to sing "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen." And just as he and his clerk Bob Cratchit are closing up shop for the night, Scrooge acknowledges in his cranky way that tomorrow is Christmas and confirms that Bob is expecting the whole day off. After additional grumbling at this from Scrooge, he serves Cratchit with this admonition.
"But I suppose you must have the whole day. Be here all the earlier next morning."
Back to work the day after Christmas. These days here in America, the day after Christmas is a mixed bag in terms of going back to work. It depends on your field or the kind of company you work for. Last year, Christmas fell on a Sunday, and many employers observed Monday the 26th as a paid holiday. But the day after Christmas is simply that, the day after. The party's over, it's not Christmas anymore, and there's nothing special or official about December 26th for us, just as there wasn't for Bob Cratchit. But A Christmas Carol was published in 1843. Had it been published 28 years later, there actually would have been something special about it for Bob Cratchit, because in 1871, the day after Christmas, known to the Brits as Boxing Day, became an official holiday in England. And here in America, that didn't happen. Well, that doesn't seem fair. I too want a day off after Christmas to celebrate Boxing Day. I do all kinds of Boxing Day things like, I don't know. What is Boxing Day? What are the eponymous boxes? How is the day celebrated? That's a story that goes back centuries or possibly millennia, and that's because its true origin and true meaning is still a little fuzzy and the subject of some debate. What's not up for debate is that for the British, Boxing Day is the official Christmas afterparty, and you're missing out on it. I'm Brian Earle. This is Christmas Past. Well, given that Boxing Day is a uniquely British holiday, if we're going to start unpacking the box, as it were, we'll need the help of an honest-to-goodness Brit.
My name is Paul Carenza, and fascinated by cultural history, I love a bit of Christmas.
Paul Carenza is a bit of an all-rounder. He's a comedian, a writer for television shows like Miranda on the BBC and Top Gear. He's the podcaster behind the British Broadcasting Century and Christmas What the Fa-la-la. And he's the author of Hark, the Biography of Christmas. So, what is Boxing Day? Why do some cultures celebrate it, but not others? What is the box in question? This last question has been the source of several myths and theories about the origin of the day. Some say the day after Christmas is when we return all the gifts we received but didn't like, the boxes being the boxes of merchandise going back to the shops. Others say it's when the rich boxed up gifts to give to the poor. Still others say that in olden times, the day after Christmas was when servants were allowed to celebrate, and the boxes were the gifts given between them and to them from the homeowners. This last theory is probably closest to the truth, and we'll come back to it shortly. All of the above may have been things that really did or do happen. The question is which, if any of them, is the origin of Boxing Day. And the fact is that there is still disagreement to this day about what we're really talking about when we're talking about Boxing Day.
The box in Boxing Day, now this is a tricky one, and the trouble is, no one really knows.
So let's stick to the things that we can say for sure. In the year 415, the church recognized December 26th as St. Stephen's Day, or the Feast of Stephen. You know, just like the one that good King Wenceslas looked out on.
King Wenceslas looked out on the Feast of Stephen.
St. Stephen is traditionally venerated as the first martyr of Christianity, and the Feast of Stephen is part of Christmastide, those famous 12 days of Christmas between Christmas Day itself and the Feast of the Epiphany. Now, observing St. Stephen's Day often meant an increase in charitable activity, and churches, which kept alms boxes or collection boxes for the poor, would often open those boxes on St. Stephen's Day to give to the poor. And yet, still, this may not be what we're talking about when we're talking about Boxing Day. Because Boxing Day may share a date on the calendar with St. Stephen's Day, but they're not the same. They're just connected.
There is a loose historical link between St. Stephen's Day and Boxing Day.
So let's go back to that one theory that may hold water.
another possible route to the box of Boxing Day, a box that is given to someone in a household, someone who's been working for your household.
It does seem that Boxing Day has something to do with the working and servant classes. A leading theory with historians is that the origin of the term lies in the earthenware boxes for gratuities kept by medieval servants and apprentices. Since the Middle Ages, it was the custom during the Christmas season for English employees to solicit tips from the people with whom their employer did business. And we know about this because there are records of regulations passed as early as the 15th century to stamp this practice out, calling it a nuisance and mentioning Christmas boxes by name. And in the following centuries, several prominent writers would pay mention to these boxes.
In Samuel Pepys's diary, back in the 1600s, you get talk of him doing the Christmas box.
Those regulations, by the way, did nothing at all to stop the practice of soliciting tips, and that's part of the reason that a version of Boxing Day is still around today. For whatever early tenuous connection it once had to the Feast of Stephen, assuming there ever even was one, Boxing Day became its own cultural event. But it wasn't until 1871 that it became an official British national holiday.
It's meant to be a day off work. It's a bank holiday. Brits don't go into work on that day.
Officially, and further distinguishing it from St. Stephen's Day, which is always on December 26th, Boxing Day is observed on the first business day after Christmas. Most of the time, that also happens to be the 26th, but that's not always the case.
For example, the other year we had Christmas Day on a Saturday, December the 26th on a Sunday, and Boxing Day technically then becomes the 27th.
Well, if Boxing Day is no longer mostly about charity or tipping workers or whatever it may have once been, how do people observe and celebrate it today?
Well, it used to be associated with sales shopping, and then Black Friday has kind of snuck in and stolen that over the last few years. So actually, people aren't as likely to go sales shopping. They're much more likely to eat leftover turkey sandwiches, slump in front of the TV, or maybe watch a lot of sport. We have a lot of sport on Boxing Day.
And different communities even put their own spin on the celebration, like Paul remembers. And just for our non-British listeners, a pram is a baby carriage.
In our village, we would have a pram race every Boxing Day when all the streets close. People dress up prams or trolleys or pushchairs in a variety of costumes, normally something topical related to the year's news. And you'd go through a big race all the streets, stopping off at all the pubs and having a few drinks and having some cheering and raising money for charity. And that's just for that village. But that sort of thing does happen a lot around the country.
Well, all of this sounds like great fun, of course. And it's true that much, if not most, of the typical American Christmas celebration is imported from England. Not only that, but every year we seem to want to start the Christmas season earlier and earlier. So why not extend it a day later, too? You'd think we Americans would jump at the chance for an extra day to eat, relax, and spend time with family and friends. Besides, we already do something similar, where the Friday after Thanksgiving is practically its own holiday.
Surely, in the US, they'd love Boxing Day, because, you know, I know you're big sports fans. So you can change the sport by all means. You don't have to have our soccer. You can turn into whatever you want. But, you know, that is a day when you eat a lot of food and go and celebrate all sorts of things like that.
Well, the good news is that, official or not, you're perfectly free to observe Boxing Day if you care to, and you can do it any old way you like.
In a weird way, if you just make up your own slightly bonkers Boxing Day tradition, that's probably the most Boxing Day thing you can do, really.
Boxing Day is a perfect day to enjoy those Christmas leftovers and feel free to indulge just a little while longer as the holiday season winds down. We take feasting and leftovers for granted because the fact is it's easy to take it for granted for many of us. Not until you face a Christmas without abundance or security can you really appreciate the value and meaning of all that comfort and joy. Just ask Wendell in South Dakota.
At Christmas of 1986, my father had been an out-of-work coal miner for almost 2 years. He had set myself and my two brothers down and told us that it would be a thin Christmas and Santa probably wouldn't bring very much. We sadly understood, but to me the most important thing I was worried about was the bare kitchen cabinets. We just did not have a lot of food. And I knew Christmas morning the tree was going to be bare, but our stomachs wouldn't be as full as other Christmases. 2 days before Christmas that year, we happened to hear a knock at the door at about 6 p.m. I opened up the door and turned on the porch light. And there, on my parents' 10-foot by 40-foot porch, were groceries that filled the entire area. It was more food than we had ever seen. It was enough food to feed us for a month or more. Well, that's what we needed, because in February, 2 months after Christmas, my father went back to work. But that Christmas stands out in my memory, because that is the Christmas that Saint Nicholas truly visited us and fed us.
Well, if you're listening in real time, Christmas is just days away. And this is the last one of these kinds of episodes for the 2023 season, the kind where I tell you the story behind a Christmas tradition. But you haven't seen the last of me yet. Stay subscribed and keep listening and join me again on Christmas Day for our 8th annual Christmas in Review. I hope you've been having a wonderful Christmas season so far, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again very soon. Until then, let me remind you that Christmas Past is produced in wonderful Willow Glen, California, by yours truly, Brian Earle. Thank you so much to Paul Carenza. Check the show notes to this episode for links to his book, podcast, and much more. Thanks also to Wendell in South Dakota, and as always, thank you for listening. You can drop me a line any time of year at christmaspastpodcast@gmail.com, and you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And join our private Christmas Past Facebook group if you haven't yet. And if you're really feeling the Christmas spirit, why not help more people discover the show? It's as easy as telling a friend about it or leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. If you do leave a review, I'll send you a Christmas Past sticker, and a handwritten Christmas card is my way of saying thanks. Reach out for details. And until we meet again, may your days be merry and bright.